Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. I want to thank you for listening to this podcast from Connecting Faith. There are many more podcasts available at our website, myfaithradio.com. And your support makes this possible.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Connecting Faith. Thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Well, do you ever find yourself looking over at the other moms when you drop off your kids at school, just grateful that you even got everyone up, but wondering how that mom still tends to do it better, look better, and her kids look better? Maybe sometimes you think that you have to do it all right, and if you don't do it all right, then you're not a good parent. Or maybe you find yourself saying, I'm just a mom, when introducing yourself at social events and meetings. Well, today I am so fortunate to be chatting with a mom who's not only been there, but is still in that stage of trying to figure it all out and wants us to figure it all out too. Lucky for us, she's come up with a term for all of us who tend to believe that myth that we are somehow not enough as moms. Well, this book is called Hoodwinked, 10 Myths Moms Believe and Why We All Need to Knock It Off. And we're going to try to dispel some of those mommy myths today and get us started on the right track. So let me tell you a little bit more about her. Ruth Schwenk is a graduate of Moody Bible Institute. She's also the creator of the BetterMom.com website, dedicated to resources and encouragement for moms. She and her husband also created ForTheFamily.org, a website dedicated to resources for the family. And she's a pastor's wife, a mom of four energetic kids, a lover of coffee, and a dreamer of big dreams. She loves leading, speaking, and blogging. And Ruth is the co-author of two forthcoming books with Zondervan. A graduate of the Moody Bible Institute, Ruth and her husband have been serving in the local church community for nearly 15 years. Welcome, Ruth.
Thank you so much.
Well, it's great to have you here. And I was just telling Ruth as we were chatting before the show that I just kind of laughed my way through her book because I kept saying, that's so true. That's so true. And there were just so many times that I could relate with what you were writing about these myths that we tend to believe. And I don't even know where they came from as moms. But I had this idea in my head of the way I was supposed to be as a mom. And when it didn't come true, then I felt like I was a failure. Was that kind of the premise for deciding to write this book?
Yes. You know, my friend Karen Eamon and I were talking about writing a book for moms. And as we talked about it, we realized that the way we mother is so often determined by things that we believe about being a parent. And so as we started to kind of discuss that, we realized that our actions were taking place because of myths that we actually had believed maybe our whole life. And I'm not sure either where those come from. I think probably just growing up, watching other moms, maybe for me it was watching my grandma. I thought it would be so easy because she made it seem so easy. So, yeah, that's kind of how we came up with the myths of motherhood.
And I would love to go back and ask my grandma if it was as easy as she made it look. And I'm guessing that maybe it wasn't, that if we were able to interview her, that she may have a different story.
Yeah. And for me, I spent so much time with my grandma when I was younger, but the time I spent with her, she, you know, her home always seemed so clean and perfect and everything was so just so. And what I failed to recognize is that she didn't have any kids at home anymore. I mean, I was her granddaughter there, but her kids were all grown. So I wasn't seeing, you know, her reality when she had children at home all day, every day.
So when I was reading more about you and reading your book, I noticed that you said you kind of always wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. And so maybe you started thinking of being a mom a lot earlier than many people did. What drew you to kind of just loving this role? And what did you think once you became a mom for the first time? Were some of those thoughts of what it was going to be like shattered? Or was it kind of what you thought?
Yeah. Well, again, I mean, I think the reason I was so drawn to being a mom, I'm completely aware that there are a lot of women who would say, oh, my word, that was not me. But there are a lot who would say that was me. And I really wanted to be a mom. I was so excited. I think a lot had to do with my grandma. And I became a mom, and in my mind, I had all of these ideas. My oldest child's name is Tyler, and I thought, oh, he's going to, you know, he's going to be a straight A student. He's going to love sports. He's going to be, you know, he's going to do this and that and the other thing. And four children later, honestly, I'm just thankful that everybody is alive. You know, I mean, you get to that point, you're like, oh, my word, I thought I had it all figured out, but I guess not. So definitely reality set in there.
So when you had that first child and you saw that first reality that, oh, maybe this isn't as easy as I thought it would be. What kinds of prayers how were you talking to God kind of about that, thinking, wait a minute, what's going on here?
Yeah, you know, I think one quote we use often when we're talking about this book is to raise your children on your knees. Mm. And I think that that is a truth that moms need to hold on to tightly, because just as soon as we think we have it figured out, all of a sudden it all unravels again. And so I think that's just so important to, you know, ask God for that direction in parenting and really going to Him for our strength, and knowing that He is the one that guides us, and He's the one that guides our children too. So we don't have to have it all figured out, because He is in control.
Mm. I think that I felt more than once on more than one occasion, and still do now that my oldest is a teenager, that being a mom is this thing that for the first time I confronted that I could not do in my own strength. And, you know, before we have that first child, we're so used to maybe we have a successful career, or, you know, we have a house and are living a life and supporting ourselves, and we're pretty much taking care of business the way that we think we're supposed to. And then this little creature comes into our life and we realize, oh, wait a minute, I don't have control over this, nor do I know what I'm supposed to do. And that was really the first time where I said, God, I really need some help here. I need some wisdom here. And maybe that was His purpose for me all along. But I love that we want to parent on our knees. That's just brilliance.
Right. And I think just recognizing that we don't have to have it all figured out, and that it's okay to ask for help. It's okay to seek wisdom in that. And you know, it's a lifelong process of learning, and we're not going to know what to do from day one. And again, every child's different too, so that plays into it as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about some of these myths that you've come up with, things that we tend to believe, even though we don't know where they came from, and even though we don't know if they're right. One of the myths you wrote is mothering is natural, easy, and instinctive. Mm-hmm. How is that a myth?
Yeah. Well, again, it isn't, not one bit. I mean, some parts of it, of course, some parts of it might come natural and easy to you. But just like anything else, wisdom in our life takes work. And so wisdom and parenting, and just even knowing what to do with this creature, like you said, that you find, you know, all of a sudden you find yourself with this person, this little person to take care of. And what do I do here? It takes work. It's a lifelong process, and I think it's okay to recognize that. I think where moms get tripped up is when they want to have it all together all at once, and they don't understand why it's not working the way it's supposed to. And I think if we just, again, like I said, realize that none of us have it all figured out, so we don't need to feel that insecurity that mom is doing it way better than we are, that none of us have it all figured out, that it's okay to ask one another for help, be in community with other moms, and then to recognize that the wisdom in parenting is going to take work, and it's going to be a lifelong process.
Well, and one of the things that you bring up often in your book is that part of dispelling all of these myths and part of really making it as a parent is to have these relationships with other moms. And that's also something that I had never really thought about until I had a child and then realized, wait a minute, all of these other moms, they need to be my people, because they're the ones who hold not only the wisdom to help me get from stage to stage, but they hold just my heart, and they give me someone to talk to and to talk through these things. So talk about just the importance of relationship.
Yeah, I think community is huge in motherhood. And actually, when I started my website, that was my heart behind it, is that I wanted a place that moms could come together and learn and grow and realize that, you know, we're all in this together and we all have different struggles. I think, you know, there's a few sides of community that are helpful. First of all, you just have friends that are in it with you. You know, they get it. They have a child that has done maybe the same thing that your child is doing. You have a friend to talk to. But then there's the side of community where you have maybe somebody that's a little bit further down the road than you. And for me, that's always looks like I can look at what that person's doing, and I really am observant at what they're doing that I think is working really well, and I try to implement that into my own family. And so, you know, there's a couple sides of community that are very beneficial and important for us. It's having that friend, and it's honestly, it's having those mentors, whether or not that person even realizes that they're your mentor or not. You can just glean so much from somebody that's a little bit further down the road.
I remember distinctly when I went from being the mentee to being a mentor. Someone actually called for my parenting advice, and I thought, what? Oh, my goodness, this is kind of an honor. And I had never thought of it that way. I felt so silly calling someone to ask them about something like potty training. And when someone called me, I realized, oh, wait a minute, I don't mind at all that someone called me. I'm kind of honored that she did. And here I was so afraid to call someone to ask their advice on something, whether it was baby food or anything else.
Yeah, I think that is a problem in motherhood, you know, the mommy wars we talk about. I think that insecurity of feeling like somebody else is going to know that maybe you don't know what to do in a certain area. And it's okay. I think if we just all humbly recognize that we're all in this together, like I keep saying, we could all grow so much and just learn from one another. So I love that you're saying, hey, I was afraid to call somebody and ask for help. But then you realized once somebody called you that, wow, okay, that's not really that big of a deal. You know, you didn't think that person didn't have it all together because they called you to ask for potty training advice or something.
Well, I wish I would have known that then. I would have made a lot more phone calls back when I was at that first child. Well, today I'm talking with author Ruth Schwenk, who's co-written a book called Hoodwinked, 10 Myths Moms Believe and Why We All Need to Knock It Off. We're going to be back with Ruth in just a minute on Connecting Faith. Welcome back to Connecting Faith. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. Having a great conversation today with author Ruth Schwenk. She's written a book called Hoodwinked, 10 Myths Moms Believe and Why We All Need to Knock It Off. Ruth, you mentioned something about the mommy wars and this, I don't even know what this is, this instinctive need that we have to compare ourselves with other mothers. And I don't know where this comes from, but I can attest that it is real. And from what I said at the beginning, sometimes you just see a mom and you wonder, how does she have it all together? And how do her kids not have peanut butter on their face? I don't understand it.
Right.
Have you done research or thought about this, why we do this and how we can stop it?
Well, you know, Karen and I, when we were writing the book, definitely spent a lot of time talking to different moms and asking about the mommy wars, whether, you know, because it's talked a lot in the media. But we wanted to see if moms that, you know, in real life, if they really felt that tension. And it's clearly there. And I think a lot of it has to do with that myth. There's a myth in the book that the way I mother is the right and only way. So there's this idea that I'm doing it all right, which means if you do something different, you must be doing it wrong. So this can be everything from whether you homeschool or you public school or you private school to whether you're a working mom, a stay-at-home mom. You know, we see the wars coming up in that. And what we found in it all is that moms don't really want to feel that way about one another. And again, I think I mentioned insecurity already, but the more we dove into that topic, we just thought, gosh, I think it comes from maybe a place of insecurity, hoping that you're doing it all right, and realize that the biggest way we can combat this, these mommy wars, is by having grace with one another. And Karen talks about building a bridge instead of erecting a fence. And so we miss out on so much when we erect those fences. And she even shares in the book a story of a mom that she almost erected that fence in between her and this mom because they did so much differently. And how thankful she is that she built a bridge instead to this mom and realized that it was okay that they did things differently because now it is that same person is just such a great friend of hers. And she would have missed out on that friendship with her if she would have let those differences come in between them. So, you know, it's just intentionally reaching out to moms that are different than you and being okay with that and having grace with one another. And I think as you get older, you start to realize, wow, I guess I don't really have it together. And so it's okay. You know, I don't have to feel this way. I definitely think when my kids were really little, I thought probably I had it a little more together than I really did. And as my kids have gotten older, I've just naturally realized I need to have more grace with other moms because none of us have it all figured out.
Well, in the book, I love how you say that this mothering thing, it's not a recipe. It's a relationship with God as well as a relationship with other people. Talk more about that and why we need to realize that.
Well, I think, you know, all of us would just love it if somebody would just give us a step-by-step method, right? Here, this is how you do it. This is how it's all going to work out. This is your recipe with the instructions to raising your child. But then we find out in motherhood that the only way to thrive really is to depend on God and our relationship with Him. Our character is going to be tested over and over again. We'll be stretched beyond what we could even imagine. But in raising our kids, there is no recipe. And so when we talk about that relationship, we learn so much from our relationship with God. Most of what we learn is from our relationship with God, but we also learn from our relationships with other mothers. And so that's where the whole mommy wars and building those bridges, that's where that comes in as well, because we want to learn from one another. And to do that, we have to be open to moms that we might think are doing things differently than we are. Mm.
Well, and it shows the grace of God as well to not be judging what someone is doing. And then, of course, to not feel like we're judged by the way we choose to do something.
Correct. Yes. Both sides of that coin. Yes.
You know, speaking of which, it's the holidays. And so I know there's a lot of social gatherings and I'll often we get that question. Well, what do you do with people we've never met? Or maybe we ask that question. And I've heard many times and I know I've said on occasion, oh, I'm just a mom. And what's wrong with that statement? And why should we maybe rephrase that?
Well, I think, and this is a big one that I think so many moms struggle with. And I really did, too. I think, you know, when I was when my kids were younger, I honestly was just trying to get by. And at some point, I came across a book called The Mission of Motherhood. And I realized there was actually a purpose behind what I was doing. And I didn't know that. Again, mothering isn't natural, easy, and it's instinctive. Nobody, you know, that wasn't just a natural response of mine, that I knew that I wasn't just a mom and that I knew that there was a purpose behind what I was doing. But, you know, I think that is a common thing that we come across in our culture today, whether it's from the culture or just from our own internal feelings of, oh my word, this is all there is. I just am at home taking care of these children. And I, you know, so I think we can feel insecure in our role as a mom, and that's where that creeps in. But the Bible is so clear about our importance as moms. And there's actually Moses' mom is somebody who I love to look at the example of her life, because it says that, you know, we know that Moses had an impact for generations to come, but she, it was his parents when he was born. In Hebrews, it tells us that they saw that he was no ordinary child. And I love that phrase because they realized the importance of their role in raising this child who would love God and love others and would be a light to the world. And so I think it's just, you know, when we realize that God really does have a purpose for us as moms, that's when we can throw away that myth that I'm just a mom. You know, one time I was going through the bank drive-thru and the woman was asking me what I did. And so I said I was a mom, and she kept saying, "You mean you're just a mom? Oh. You're just I mean, she kept saying that to me, and I didn't know how to respond. I felt I was so caught off guard, and I kept saying, "Yes, I am a mom." And so I think it's okay. I think we just need to not be, not worry if somebody says that, and we just answer, "Yes, you know, this is what God's called me to do and to raise my children, and this is the season I'm in right now. And yes, I'm a mom." Mm-hmm.
Well, and it's kind of fun when that your kids kind of realize that you do now, or you currently or did have this life outside of them. And it does help when they become teenagers and they realize, oh, you're a real person too. And so Let me figure out how I can honor that. And it's fun to see your kids mature in that way. And the way that it seems that we can do that is by just allowing our role to be important and talking about it that way, and really letting them know that our role as parents, as moms, and as dads is an important one among the other roles that we have in our lives.
Yes, and that's not our only identity in being a mom. Ultimately, we're a child of God. And so I think, you know, it's good for our kids to see us involved in other things, in ministry and other things, and know that, you know, ultimately we are a child of God just like they are. And you're right, that's not our sole identity, as is not just a mom.
Well, it's kind of fun to see my mom now that her children are raised and gone, and to watch her kind of settle into the life that she's made for herself as well. And it's fun to see that, just as like it's fun to see my own children kind of grow up and have the identities that they have of their own as well. So.
Yeah, that's great.
Well, today I'm talking to author Ruth Schwenk today about her book called Hoodwinked, 10 Myths Moms Believe and Why We All Need to Knock It Off. We're going to talk about a few more of those myths when we come back after this short break. If you're listening in and you'd like to get a copy of this book, well, we do have a couple to give away. You can write us in at myfaithradio.com. You can email us there. If you just click on the Connecting Faith show page, it will take you to a screen where you can enter your name, and we will have a drawing at the end of the show, and we will figure out who can get a copy of those books. Thanks so much, and we'll be right back. To Connecting Faith. Thanks for joining us this afternoon, having a fun conversation today with author Ruth Schwenk about being a mom and the myths that sometimes we believe as moms that may not be very healthy and certainly may not be accurate. Well, Ruth, we've been talking a little bit about a couple of those myths, and one of my favorites was that you said a good mother can do it all at once, not just do it all, but you can do it all at once. That seems to be a myth that we've all entertained at some point in time. Explain a little bit more about that one.
Yeah, that is the kicker there. I think we really all can struggle with that. And I think what I had to come to grips with in my own life, because I love to be a part of everything. that's just my personality. And so I think when we struggle in that area, we have to come to realize that there's different seasons of motherhood. And we have to be okay with that. And so when my children were really little, oh my word, I really didn't have a lot of time to do some of those extra things. And as my children get older, I can be a part of some things that maybe I couldn't be a part of back then. So I think that is the biggest thing to recognize, is that there are different seasons of motherhood. And just because you can't do something right now doesn't mean that you can never do it.
And that those seasons, they don't last forever. I kept trying to remind mm-hmm. myself, and my mom was great about this too, just reminding me, this toddler stage is not going to last. This one's going to move on to the next one, and the next one to the next one. And even now, the teenager stage is not going to last either, although some people are kind of discouraging, where they say this stage where they talk back to you or roll their eyes will last until they're 20. And I don't know if I want to wait that long.
Right. Oh, that's funny. Well, I agree. I look right now, I think, oh, my word, where did my little babies go? Mm-hmm. That time went so fast. And I'm not holding a baby anymore. My youngest is 6. And we're in a completely different stage than we were 5 years ago. And so it really, really does. I know you probably hear that a lot, but it really does go by so fast. And so recognizing that and taking a hold of those different seasons, making sure that you're those moments, you don't miss those moments in those different seasons.
And it's just so comforting, really, when I look at other moms who are in that stage where they're maybe having to, you know, follow their new walker around and make sure they don't hit their head or hurt themselves mm-hmm. or hurt something else or break mm-hmm. something. And I remember being in that stage, and yet it seems mm-hmm. like it was just yesterday. So those seasons really do go so quickly, and to not mm-hmm. kind of get bogged down with, oh, I'm going to be stuck changing diapers for the rest of my life.
Right. Yeah, that's so true.
One of the other myths I really related to, and that I'm relating to right now during this particular season of kind of getting ready for Christmas, is myth number 8. You wrote, everything depends on me. We seem to think that as moms, that everything depends on us, and we don't really give ourselves a break.
Right. Yeah, and I think, you know, in this myth, when we think it's all up to us, we put so much pressure on ourselves as moms and our own abilities. And instead of really taking that insecurity that we're feeling and giving it to God. And so we can tend to push God out of the picture. I mean, how many of us, most women, like to be in control? And I think that this myth, you know, control is a big part of this myth. And so we can tend to push God out of the picture and think that we have to have it all under control and our own abilities. But really, this is where we need to say, God, this doesn't all depend on me. It depends on you, and I will be faithful to you in this.
Mm. So what are maybe some ways that we could kind of stop trying to do it all and control it all? Have you had an experience that you can share with your own experience mothering?
Yeah, I think, because I like to control. you know, I mean, it's with 4 children, I want to try to run a little bit of a tight ship, because things can get out of control quickly. And I've really had to come to a point in my life and realize, Ruth, you don't have to be in control of every moment, of every word they say, of everything they do. Let them be. And so that's how it looked for me. I had to rein it in, step back, and let them be. I don't have to control every single area of their life, you know, and they will learn on their own. And so that's what it looked like for me.
Well, and that kind of leads me to one of the other myths, which is my child's bad decisions or bad choice means that I'm a bad mom. So as someone who likes to control your children, what they say and what they do and how they act, I'm guessing that maybe you had a lot to do with making sure this myth was in the book.
Yeah, I think, well, this was definitely a common one. And this was Karen's myth that she wrote. She had lots of stories. Her kids are, they're out of the house. She has one left at home. So they're older than my children. And so they went through all those teen years already. So she had quite a few stories to share on this. But I think this is something we all struggle with. I mean, you think about the mom at the grocery store whose toddler is screaming their head off. And how do we all, I mean, we've all probably experienced some form of that, and it's embarrassing, and you feel like it has something to do with you. And honestly, a lot of times, some people look at you like it does have something to do with you. And so, I think that's where that comes from as well. So we all struggle with this myth, whether we have a toddler or a teenager. It's a big, big deal.
I do remember picking my toddler up on more than one occasion at a store and just leaving everything in my basket and walking away with him, though.
And that's what I always try to do. I just, if something was going wrong, it was better to just exit and take care of it quietly instead of in the store or somewhere where everybody else was. It was just much easier that way.
It is. At one point, it's just time to go. The only time you can't do that is if you happen to be in an airplane.
Well, that's true. Then you're stuck there. And I always feel so bad for families in that situation because I've been there too. So we just have to have grace with one another in that.
So when it comes to teaching our kids to love the Lord and teaching them about him, what's some advice there that you can give us to maybe even in those times where we're feeling frustrated or feeling like we need to just pick up and walk away? What's some great ways that we can just help them to know that they are as well to have their identity in secure with Christ?
Yeah, this is something that I talk about a lot, and I always preface it with that it's really just to remember that it's only by God's grace that our children turn out at all. That's something to really keep in mind. We do have a responsibility to teach our children about God, but it's only by his grace, no matter how hard we try, he's ultimately in control, and it's by his grace that they turn out. I really, really think the biggest tool we have as moms is our very own life in front of our children, lived out following God. And so we definitely teach our children the Bible. We talk to them about Jesus. We try to raise up disciples in that. But we also realize that even a greater witness is just our life as parents lived out in front of them. They see mom and dad following God. They see mom and dad reading their Bible. They see mom and dad trusting God in the hard times. And really, we pass on as moms what we possess. And so that's really, I think, one of the most important things to remember in passing on faith to our children.
That's just some great advice. And as we're moving into Christmas, I think about that often as things get a little bit stressful and presents need to be purchased and meals need to be planned and people need to be visited and to just continue to keep at the forefront that this holiday is about Christ and the reason we're giving is because of him. And it is so difficult to remember that we are kind of molding and displaying to our children what this season is all about by the way we act.
Yes. And we in this Christmas season, we to do just that, we just moved and we've had a kind of a crazy few months and we really decided, okay, let's keep it simple. And let's keep talking to the kids about Christ and in the season and try to remember. I know it's so hard because it can get so busy so fast during these holidays. But I think that's definitely what we've been trying to do here in our home is just keeping it simple, making sure that we're talking about the reason for the season.
Well, and it's kind of easy to fall into that trap of just getting overly busy. And I don't ever want my kids to think that that's what what parenting is all about, that it's just such a joy to be able to do this and have the celebrate all these holidays, of course, with the people that we love. And so I need to remind myself of that as well. And of course, starting the day with God's word is a great way to do that for me as well. I don't know how it works for you as well.
Yes, that, and that's definitely one of our myths, actually, is motherhood is a rat race. And that's, you know, we find ourselves caught in that rat race of just going. And I think God wants us to see time as sacred and important, and really grasping those moments, not letting them pass us by. And for me, I have to, in the morning, I have to center my day on Him. Because, you know, as soon as the kids are awake, everything is going full speed. And so if I can really get that time with Him first thing in the morning, it is so helpful to keep my day in perspective and just honoring Him.
Well, we're going to take a quick break before we come back with author Ruth Schwenk today on her book called Hoodwinked, 10 Myths Moms Believe and Why We All Need to Knock It Off. If you've been listening and you want to get a copy of Ruth's book, well, we'd love to have you get one of those. We have a couple to give away. You can just go to our website at myfaithradio.com, click on Connecting Faith, and you'll be able to enter your name and your email and your phone number there. We'll make a drawing at the end of the show and give you a call and let you know if you won one of the copies. But if you didn't get a copy, try to pick one up at your local retailer. You can go to Amazon.com, ChristianBook.com, and Ruth, I'm guessing a lot of other places as well.
Yes, available everywhere.
Okay, available everywhere. It would make a great gift for the lovely mom in your life, I'm sure, for Christmas. We'll be back. We're going to take a quick break and then back with Ruth Schwenk. Welcome back to Connecting Faith. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. I'm Joe Bender, and today I'm talking with author Ruth Schwenk about her book, Hoodwinked. And Ruth, one of the other myths that you wrote down, myths that moms believe, is that motherhood is luck of the draw. So explain that a little bit and how we can learn from that myth and learn not to believe it.
Yeah, that's the whole myth that, you know, I'm just going to do the best that I can and hope that, you know, my kids will just turn out right. And that's definitely how I started in motherhood. I was just trying to get by, do the best that I could, be the best mom that I could. And I realized that I was feeling a bit frazzled and overwhelmed, and I just didn't even know if I was doing anything right. And I came across a book called The Mission of Motherhood, and it really changed my perspective on motherhood. It made me realize that it really isn't luck of the draw. There's actually a purpose behind what I am doing, and it's an intentional day-by-day living out of God's mission to raise our children who will be love, light, and truth to a dark world.
So when you decided that that was the way that you were going to approach motherhood, the way that you approached it, how did that change? How did your attitude change from day to day?
Well, it changed from, I wasn't just, again, just trying to make it and, you know, do the best that I could. My children were pretty little at that time. So at that point, I probably was just starting to read some of, you know, Bible books with them that were for preschoolers. And but then I think it was more in my head, the perspective changed, that I realized, wow, these are my little disciples. You know, these children that God has given me, He wants me to teach them about Him. He wants me to help them love Him and help them to serve the world. So I think for me at that point in my life, it was more a mental change. But as they got older then, I was more intentional in teaching them God's word and talking to them about what it looked like to serve God in the world.
Well, and there's probably some moms listening today who feel like, wow, you know, I did a lot of those things. I feel like I got them set on the right way. I feel like, you know, they should love the Lord, and yet they've turned, maybe taken a left turn and are not really following what you thought that you taught them. Do you have some encouragement for them, or just to get back on their knees? What would your encouragement be for them?
Well, I have a mentor friend of mine whose children are grown, and all of her, they taught their children the word, they lived it out in front of them, but every single one of her children went through a time where they questioned what they had been taught, they questioned God, and she would say, her advice to me has always been, they need to go through those times. They need to go through those times where their faith becomes their own. And you have to embrace those times and be there to answer their questions, to talk them through that time. But more importantly, obviously, you pray through that time and talk to God about them rather than talking to them about God so much. At those points, you're like, okay, Lord, it's all up to you. Mm-hmm. So I love that. I mean, her life, her children's lives, that's a real example to me of what true faith is, because even though they had been taught to love the Lord and they had been taught all the right things, they all came to a point where it had to become their own. And so that took some time for them.
Well, and if we think about our own stories, I know I can say that for mine, especially, uh-huh. I can say that personally, that I went through that one of those times as well. When I left for college and was kind of on my own, I had to think through everything that I had learned, of course, the things I'd learned from church, the things I'd learned from my parents, and you do need to start making some decisions on your own. And I know my mom was praying me through those times. I mean, my parents have told me that as soon as I left the house, they just began to pray in a very, very different way. I'm sure your co-author, Karen, could talk about that as well, just how her prayers are probably different now that her kids are out of the house. But again, that's kind of about stages that we're in, isn't it?
Yeah, it's about stages. And honestly, you know, again, I think about my own life. I was not raised in a Christian home, and I started following Christ towards the end of high school. And I think about my life and think, wow, you know, God had it all in control. Mm-hmm. You know, he worked in my life, even though I didn't even grow up in a home that was following Christ. And so it's having that faith that God has a plan no matter what.
Mm-hmm. And that just seems so important in each of these seasons as a parent, and in each of the seasons we watch our kids go through as well, whether they're in our house or whether they're leaving our house, to know that God is in control, and that maybe that means we don't have to cling to being in control so much.
Correct. Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Especially as they start to get older, as we were talking about earlier, as they're getting into their teens and stuff. Yep.
Well, and they start choosing their own friends then, too. And so I pray a lot about that as well, because I want them to make good decisions. And, of course, I want them to make the decision and me not have to control every aspect of that as well. And so that's a whole new different season as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. And I feel like my husband's always saying to me, Ruth, you have to let them handle this. They can do that, you know, and there we go with the control again. But yeah, as they're getting older, it changes so much into constantly working on character, emotional issues, just being intentional in the training, and then letting them know that you trust that they can make a good decision, that they can do the right thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things that we haven't mentioned yet, other than in your intro, is that besides this book, you actually write quite a bit. You do a lot of blogging, and you've started a website for moms, for resources for them. Can you talk a little bit about that and how people can learn more about you and all of your work?
Yes. About 4 years ago, I really felt called into mom ministry, and I think you mentioned earlier, my husband is a pastor. We've been in full-time ministry for over 15 years, and so I wasn't sure how that looked. Was it in the church we are at? But I prayed a lot, and that's when I started the website, thebettermom.com, and the Better Mom is really, my heart behind the site is that it's a place that we can come together as moms to learn and grow. And so we have over 30 writers on the site who blog, including myself, and they are moms from all different stages of motherhood. So they're different ages, they're in different stages. And again, it's that theme where we're hoping that we can learn from one another and grow in that area. So it's just been an absolute blast. I love it. I love the community there. It's amazing. We are reaching hundreds of thousands of moms every single month.
And you also have a different website with resources that you've created with your husband, who is a pastor. I know I mentioned that, but wanted to just reinforce that. And what's the heart behind that and your purpose behind that website?
Well, my husband Patrick and I started ForTheFamily.org because we were looking for, we couldn't find many places that were for the whole family, were for husbands and wives. And so, That site, again, is a contributor website. There's about 20 men and women who contribute to that site. And it's a place where you can come and get wisdom for all different areas of parenting and marriage.
Excellent. So as you kind of move into this next season of your life as a mom, what kinds of subjects seem to be running through your head that you want to talk about with other moms who might be there too?
You know, it has hit me that time is really going quickly now. And I really want moms to really know that the moments matter. My son, who is in eighth grade, I think, oh my word, how is it that like in less than like 4 or 5 years, he is going to be graduating from high school, and where did that time go? I mean, all of a sudden you think that's all I have left. And so I think at this stage, I'm thinking, oh no, I need to make sure that I am very intentional, that I am, my heart is here with them first, because the time goes by so, so quickly.
I've started thinking that too, because I have an eighth grader and I've just started saying, I only have 5 summers left. I have 5 summers with this kid. And I remember getting to that point where it was March or April, and I'm thinking, what am I going to do with the summer? And now I'm in the opposite, thinking, what am I going to do with these last 5 summers that I have left? And how many memories can I make with this child who won't be in my home for very much longer? And it's a sad yet happy thing.
Yes, because it is a fun stage as well, I think, as they're getting older, and you can have these long, deep conversations, not all the time. Don't misunderstand me. I don't want anybody to think that I sit down with my older children and we just have long, deep conversations all day. That's not how it works. But it's kind of fun to see, you know, them develop and learn to really have good, meaningful conversations.
It is fun, and it's fun with those little ones, too, when I think about those conversations. Yeah. Very different conversations you have with a three-year-old, but still they're just enjoyable, and I wrote a lot of things down in my journal, thankfully, when they were little like that, so that I could reminisce about some of those funny things they would say. Well, Ruth, we just so enjoy the time that you spent with us on Connecting Faith. And I'm wondering, as we close out the show, if you would just pray for those moms who are listening and maybe feeling like they're believing some of those myths right now. And maybe you can just help encourage them.
Yes, sure. Lord, I just I pray for the moms that are listening right now. God, whatever season they find themselves in, whatever circumstances they find themselves in, Lord, I just pray that you would encourage them, give them hope, Lord, give them peace, help them to know, Lord, that you are in control, that you are in control of every area of their life, and you are in control of their life as a mom, Lord. And I just pray, God, that you would help them to depend on you and on you alone in their parenting, God. And you would give them strength and peace in that, Lord. And I just am so thankful for them, Lord, and help them to know that they are raising children who will love you and be light to this world, Lord. Give them that hope. Give them that perspective in their mothering, Lord. We love you, Jesus. Amen.
Thanks so much. Again, Ruth Schwenk, the author of Hoodwinked, 10 Myths Mom Believe, and Why We All Need to Knock It Off. Grab a copy of her book today. If you missed just a portion of this interview and you want to listen to the rest of it, you can go right to myfaithradio.com and click on Connecting Faith. You can grab a podcast of the show and maybe send it to a friend if you think that they need to hear a bit of this as well. Have a Merry Christmas, Ruth, to you and your family and your wonderful husband as well. We just wish you
Thank you. All the luck
in the world with the book.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us on Connecting Faith. Have a wonderful afternoon.